We've been privileged to study and learn from Paul's letter that he wrote to the Christians who lived in the town of Ephesus. Lately, in Ephesians chapter 4, we've been able to investigate some very great spiritual truths. He begins Ephesians chapter 4 by talking about unity and what true unity is to be based upon. And he mentions the seven ones, like one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He talks about how precious unity is and why we want to maintain unity. Then in the middle of that chapter, he discusses another very important truth of the first century, and that was spiritual gifts, miraculous powers. He talks about various groups who were given these gifts, who gave the gifts, and why they were given. Because they were temporary gifts. No, we don't have miraculous powers today. We don't have people who are receiving direct revelation from God. We do not have people who are raising people from the dead. We don't have people that have supernatural knowledge. Those were very important in the infancy of the church. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he mentioned that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He talked about the difference between the infancy of the church and the mature stage of the church. The infant church needed spiritual gifts. Why? Because they didn't have the entire Word of God yet. They only had part of it. So they had to have these spiritual gifts. They were necessary. But when it was all complete, those spiritual gifts came to an end. They had fulfilled their purpose. And now we're blessed to have the entire, complete revelation. And it's this complete revelation that Paul tells us has the power to change that old man of sin into the new man of righteousness, which is our text today. I sure hope you have your Bibles, because we're going to look at verses 17 through 24 of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. I'll read the entire text first, and then we're going to look at some of these descriptions and what causes the transformation. Actually, I'll just start with the first three verses. Verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Here is his description, and he uses five phrases to describe this old man of sin, this old man before he is converted to Christ. What's he like? He walks in the futility of his mind. Remember that most of the Christians at Ephesus had came from a Gentile background. They had not come from a Jewish background. And after obeying the gospel, they were to no longer live the kind of life that characterized the Gentiles as a whole. Habitual action. That's the idea of what a life is, what you do over and over. Paul had talked about this once in the letter in chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, Paul wrote, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked," you know, past tense, "you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others." That's the old man. He walked in the futility of his mind. Futility. Emptiness. No purpose. So many people live their lives like that today. We certainly want to look and make sure we don't fall into that category. walking in the futility of our mind. But many certainly do. They live a life without purpose. They live a life that's solely about satisfying their own physical desires, and that's what they do. That's an old man. He says the second description of the old man is his understanding has been darkened. He's spiritually blind. But this is something he had done to himself. God doesn't force people to be spiritually blind. This is something they do to themselves. This is something they choose. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 13. He talked about the spiritually blind and what they were like. In Matthew 13, starting with verse 14, this is how Jesus describes these people. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Notice, their eyes they have closed. See, they have done this to themselves. They're blind because they chose to be blind. They chose not to see. They chose not to see the truth of the gospel. So their understanding had become darkened because they couldn't see spiritually. He says the old man is alienated from the life of God. And this has to do with what? Because of the ignorance that is in them. The ignorance that is in them. Two things, two reasons, you might say, that cause someone to be alienated because of ignorance. Many unbelieving Christians live without knowledge of God's will. This is simply, that's what they chose. They didn't choose to pursue God's will. And of course, in the word ignorance is the idea of ignore. Some just ignored it. Just chose to ignore God's will. So people can have this alienation, can be alienated because of their ignorance of God and God's will and God's word. But it's something they choose to do. They choose to have this ignorance. Back in Romans chapter 1, and of course Romans chapter 1 is about God's description of many, if not most, of the Gentiles. Chapter 2 talks about the Jews. Chapter 1 talks about the Gentiles. In verse 21 of Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Verse 28 of that same chapter, still describing them. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." They did not like to retain God. Choice, free will. God lets people make their own decisions. God lets people choose. These people chose to not retain God. They chose to ignore God. They chose to be ignorant of God's will. It was their choice. Well, that's the old man. That's the description of the old man. And this ignorance keeps men alienated from God. The old man. The fourth description of the old man. Blindness of heart. Being past feeling. They have hardness of heart. Hopefully, as Christians, we never get to the point where we have a heart that is so hard that we're past feeling. That is a dangerous, dangerous state to find ourselves in. Is being blind and past feeling. This old man of sin had lived without God, had lost the power to feel shame, had lost the power to feel remorse, had become callous. had become callous. You know, that's what happens when we form calluses on our hands or whatever. Those calluses don't feel pain. They don't feel pain. Well, a person's conscience, his heart, can get to the point where it's so calloused, it's beyond feeling. Don't care about other people, don't care about God, don't care about much of anything. Well, these people were callous to the sense of right and wrong. You know, several practices that don't even raise an eyebrow today, just a generation ago, was a sense or source of shame. What's happened? People have become callous. They've seen it over and over and over again, and if you're not careful, you can go get beyond past, you know, go beyond feeling, and it's something that you don't even raise an eyebrow about. Past feeling, another dangerous state to find yourself in. But people, the old man of sin, the one not converted to Christ, that's how they live. And the fifth description he gives in that section is they've given themselves over to lewdness, uncleanness, greediness. Given themselves over to removed restraints. This is something they've done themselves. They've taken the restraints off. So they've just given themselves over to do anything they want. Anything they desire. Shameless conduct. These people don't even try to hide their sin. They just openly act indecent. Moral filthiness would be how Paul describes it back in Romans chapter 1. And of course, many of these things describe our society very, very clearly, but it described the society of the first century as well. That's how they were like. That's how they lived. That's how they talked. That's what they did. That was their behavior. Very similar in many ways to today. But that's supposed to be the old man. People don't have to stay like that. See, that's the great news of this section in Ephesians chapter 4. People don't have to live those type of immoral, debased lives. Wicked lives, they don't have to do that. They have the power to change, but they have to choose to change. God doesn't make them. He's given them this freedom to choose what kind of life they're going to pursue. The thing that changes them is the knowledge of Christ, is the gospel of Christ. That's what changes them. Notice in verses 20 and 21. This is the second part that he talks about. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Why is the truth so important? Because Jesus said it's what sets men free. Lies, dishonesty, deceit cannot set men free. It's impossible. It's only the truth that can set them free. And that truth is the gospel. It's the power of God into salvation, Romans 1:16. It can change people. It has that power. But again, it's not something that God miraculously forces on people. People must choose to change. Yeah, there's a lot of things I would like to change. There's things I'd like to change in our society. There's like things I'd like to change in people's lives. And I cannot change any of them because all of those people have free will. The only person I can change is myself. And that's the way God made us from the beginning. It says, you have the power to change if you want. God says, I'm not going to make you change. I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm just going to give you the freedom to make the right choice. And that's what people have today. It's the gospel. No one can know Christ without knowing the gospel, because to preach Christ is to preach the gospel. He says, you've not so learned Christ that you think these things I've just mentioned are allowable. He says, you know they're not. Because when you were taught the gospel, when you were taught about Christ, you were taught that that old man who was spiritually blind, who had a hard heart, all of these things, you were taught that that is not how the new man is to live. That you haven't learned Christ in that way, because Christ says that's the old man. That's the old man that needs to be transformed into the new man. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he told them the same thing. He talked about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. But it's that middle, when you're going from putting off the old man to putting on the new man, that's where the gospel comes in. The knowledge of Christ. Learning Christ. To be a follower of Jesus demands a certain way of life. And now Paul, in these next three verses, by inspiration, describes that transformation. He's talked about the old man, what he's like, and that the old man can be changed by the knowledge of Christ. And now he says, this is what the new man is to be like. This is what you're to be changed into. Notice the next three verses. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The old man, the old sinful way of life. People that are apart from Christ just get progressively worse and worse and worse. They get more corrupt, they get more wicked, they get more evil, they get more immoral. Why? Because without Christ, there are no boundaries. So people believe they can do whatever they want. And when people have that mindset, then they're going to get worse and worse and worse. Says you're to put off that old man. He uses three, what English majors would call infinitives. Remember studying those back in high school, grade school, or whenever they teach them nowadays. Three infinitives here that describe this transformation. The first one is put off. That's the first thing you've got to do. Put off, put away, lay aside, get rid of the old man. See, this is something you've got that you participate in. It involves effort on your part. You have to decide to put off the old man. God doesn't make that decision for you. You decide, I'm going to put off the old man of sin, that old sinful way of life. And he says, here's the second one, you're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is the spirit that directs your mind. Renewal starts on the inside. Before becoming Christians, as he talked about back in chapter 2, in those first three verses that we talked about in that chapter, before becoming Christians, these people, their attitude, their spirit, was about gratifying the lust of the flesh, the sinful desires. That's what they were about. That's how they lived. I'm just going to, whatever I'm lusting for, whatever I have this craving for, I'm going to fulfill it. Because that's what they were like. But as Christians, they have a new spirit. They have a new attitude. They have a new way of thinking. And this way of thinking directs their mind not toward lustful passions of the flesh, but to things that are good and honorable and holy and right. Like Paul talks about in Philippians 4. Honorable and true and trustworthy and pure and holy and godly. That's what this renewal is about. That's what this transformation is about. And now here's the third infinitive. You do what? You put on. It's not enough to put off the old man. The new one has to be put on. The Christian is to dress himself in the clothes of righteousness. So this new man has what? He has new feelings. He has new desires. And what do these feelings and desires motivate him to become like? The image of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth this in verse 18. He says, "But we all with unveiled face," see the veil's taken off, we can see clearly, "beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." See, we're to be conformed into His image. Old man transformed by the new man. But how does it come about? By learning Christ. From the gospel of Christ, that's how we learn what Christ is like. Christ doesn't walk among us today. We have no recordings of Christ, what He looked like, or anything like that. We have this revealed word about Christ and about the kind of people He wants us to become. So the more I become like Him, then the more I'm transformed, I'm changed into His image. That's what Paul wants us to become. He wants people, the disciples, to become more and more and more like Christ. The new man. The old man were to put off, put away, lay aside. But it's our choice because God doesn't force us to do it. We choose. The gospel does have amazing power to change people, convert the vilest of sinners into the holiest of saints. Comes about from learning Christ, though. When we do that, we're able to put away that former life, regardless of how wicked or evil or immoral we were, and we can begin a new life. One that's described here in our passage by a life of righteousness, true righteousness, and holiness. But it's all about choices. It's all about making decisions. Like making that first decision to become a Christian. To have the sins washed away when we're buried in baptism. But that's not where it stops, that's where it starts. And then we learn Christ. We learn about Him. We learn what He was like and what He wants us to become like. And we're daily changed into His image. It's as if we're looking into a mirror. We want our image to look more and more and more like looking into Christ. That's what we want to be. We want to be transformed into His image. Yes, it begins by our new birth. And then we choose daily to become more and more like Him. If we're not more like Him than we were a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, we are doing something very wrong. We're to become closer and closer to His image every day. As we think about the words of our invitation song that Danny has chosen, think about those what those words mean. Think about your relationship to Christ, what it needs. And maybe one of the needs is to come and ask for prayers or to confess wrong or whatever the need. But if there is one, we don't want to put it off. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song. (Clears throat)